What's up, everyone, and welcome to the final episode of the Transformers season here on Cinematic Reviews. I'm your host, Chris, and this, of course, is the show about all things movie and TV. Every week, I break down and review the newest releases, beloved franchises like Transformers, and even upcoming projects. You can support the show by hitting that follow button on your favorite podcast network, as well as following it on all social media platforms. All those handles can be found on either the Cinematic Reviews Facebook page or the show's website at podpage.com/cinematicreviews. It helps out a lot, and I appreciate all the love and support out there from everyone. I'll never talk. Bumblebee is headed your way.
I'm Charlie Watson. I'm 18. Today, actually. Is the Beetle for sale?
Yours, kid. Happy birthday.
Idea where he came from?
No idea.
Well,
here's the deal. People can be terrible about things they don't understand. From now on, the only person you can show yourself around is me. Oh, I'm good. Now I'm good, thanks.
There's a war raging on our planet. If this criminal isn't found, that war may find its way here.
Is there anyone that can help you? Do you have a family? Oh, me.
They're calling an army.
I've seen firsthand these things really are.
Bumblebee, there is only one way to end this war. You must protect Earth and its people.
Take it down!
My back, Bee! This is how we stop them. You've got me. And I'm not going anywhere. God, I'm so screwed.
Bumblebee was released on December 21st, 2018, making it the only Transformer film to not be a summer blockbuster. The film stars Haley Steinfeld as Charlie Watson, Jorge Lindenborg Jr. as Memo, and John Cena as Agent Burns of Sector 7. The film was directed by Travis Knight, who is best known for Bumblebee, as well as Kubo and the Two Strings. The film grossed over $467 million against an estimated $135 million budget, making it the lowest grossing film of the franchise, but a major success after the failure that was Transformers The Last Night. The studio used a different voice actor for Optimus Prime during production in order to not pay Peter Cullen for multiple recordings. He later came in at the end to re-record all the lines, matching the other actor's performance since the animation was already complete. Bumblebee's alternate mode is a Volkswagen Beetle, which was his original mode in the 1984 animated series. The Transformers take a more classic look from the animated cartoons instead of the designs from the Michael Bay films. Decepticons Shatter, Blitzwing, and Dropkick are never actually referred to by their names during the film. The special effects team built a life-size model of Bumblebee for Steinfeld to act against. They built a full-size copy of Bumblebee's head, chest, and upper arms with paint detail and light-up eyes. Excluding talking through the radio, Bumblebee only has 8 lines in the film. He is voiced by Dylan O'Brien, which I am a huge fan of. Chris McKay, Seth Gordon, and Rick Famuyiwa were all considered for the director's chair until Travis Knight was tapped to helm the film. And then lastly, this is the first live-action Transformers to not be directed by Michael Bay, but he did stay on as a producer alongside Steven Spielberg. Bumblebee is such an incredible film. It's by far the best of the franchise. The action, the humor, the heart, it's all just incredible. I mean, it has the best opening of the franchise by a long shot. We see the Autobots fighting against the Decepticons and Cybertron, and it looks awesome. The Transformers look very much like they did in the cartoons instead of the Michael Bay design from the previous installments. Rise of the Beasts does this as well. The heart of the film is Hayley Steinfeld and her relationship with B-127, or Bumblebee as she calls him. Steinfeld is fantastic in the film, really in anything that she does. I've been a huge fan of hers ever since I saw her in Edge of 17 and Pitch Perfect 2. Unfortunately, I didn't see Bumblebee in the theaters because the last night just left a really bad taste in my mouth at the time. I wish I would have, though. It would have been an incredible theater experience just because of Steinfeld's performance alone, on top of her heartwarming relationship with Bumblebee, and the awesome action sequences involving the Transformers are also a huge part of what makes this film as good as it is. There are only a couple of negatives I really have, but I'll save those for later on in the episode. They're minor ones, but I still like to bring them up because as much as I love the film, it's not quite perfect. So Bumblebee is sent to Earth by Optimus Prime to protect the humans from a possible Decepticon invasion. He ends up losing both his voice and memory during a battle with Blitzwing. When Bumblebee wakes up, he meets Charlie Watson, who is played by Hayley Steinfeld, of course. Charlie is an 18-year-old girl who is dealing with the passing of her father. Charlie and Bumblebee then form a heartwarming bond that takes them on a wild adventure to save Earth from the Decepticons. They battle both Shatter and Dropkick throughout the film, while also dodging John Cena's Agent Burns and the rest of Sector 7. Along with Bumblebee, Charlie also forms a bond with Memo, who apparently has a crush on her. I really like the decision to not have them fall in love at the end of the film. In a lot of films, the two leads fall in love during these kind of adventures. But the writers of this film made the smart choice to just keep them friends at the end of the film for now. It's possible that they did eventually date, but I really do like the decision to lean into the friendship part of their bond instead of doing the classic trope of them falling in love together. Bumblebee is a prequel slash soft reboot to the Michael Bay films. There is one thing that kind of destroys this concept, and that's the fact that according to The Last Knight, Bumblebee actually fought in World War II. This film takes place in 1987. There's quite a huge time difference there. Other than that, it's a pretty solid prequel if you want to consider it a prequel. At the end of the film, Bumblebee transforms into the same Camaro that we see him as in the first Transformer film, where Bobby Bolivia's, where Shia LaBeouf's character, Sam, meets him. Now, Rise of the Beast takes place in 1994, so the prequel idea still tracks. Bumblebee and Optimus look very similar in that film as they do in this one, so you can pretty much treat Bumblebee as a prequel of all of these films. That's how I do. The franchise is a lot more fun in my mind if you treat Bumblebee as the first one of this timeline. That's why I really considered starting this Transformer season off with Bumblebee, but I just really didn't want to end the season on The Last Knight. I wanted to build up to the best of the franchise, and that's Bumblebee without a doubt. From start to finish, it's a fantastic Transformer movie, as well as a fun coming-of-age story centered around Steinfeld's Charlie and her relationship with this Transformer Bumblebee. Let's take a quick break before diving into today's standout scenes. On the next season of Cinemac Reviews, we take life a quarter mile at a time. Cinemac Reviews is headed to the Fast and Furious universe. I'll be breaking down every installment of the beloved franchise, from the film that started it all, The Fast and the Furious, to Fast 5, to even Hobbs and Shaw, the spinoff film of the series. Check out the Fast and Furious season only on Cinemac Reviews. All right, let's break down some scenes. The first one on my list is, of course, the opening sequence on Cybertron. We get this awesome, awesome battle between the Autobots and Decepticons fighting for their life. Love the decision to make the design of the Transformers more in line with the animated series than with the Michael Bay designs. I think they really translated on screen very, very well. We get some cool action sequences from Optimus trying to not only defend Cybertron, but defend his Autobots. We get some, I believe, a Shockwave in there. Didn't see any Megatron or Starscream, which is pretty surprising. I believe this is really the first time that we get a Transformer film without Megatron or Starscream. If you listen to the Rise of the Beast episodes, or if you've seen them film, you know that Megatron also is pretty absent in that film. So interesting decision to kind of stay away from the classic Megatron Starscream trope. I guess that would make sense considering that Megatron, I guess, is frozen in Antarctica at the time of this film. In the first film, we see him finally get revealed and broken out of the ice. So I guess that tracks as far as the prequel concept that I talked about a little bit ago. But yeah, I just really, really love this opening shot on Cybertron with this big war between the Autobots and Decepticons. I love all the voice acting. We get Peter Cullen again voicing Optimus Prime, along with Dylan O'Brien as Bumblebee, who I love. I think Dylan O'Brien is one of the most underrated actors out there. Been a huge fan of his for years, you know, following Maze Runner. He was in the Mark Wahlberg film Infinite a couple of years ago. American Assassin with Michael Keaton. He's been in a lot of stuff. And it's really cool that he gets to be a part of a big franchise like Transformers. Not only that, but voicing one of the key characters in Bumblebee. So really, really hope to see more Dylan O'Brien in the coming years. I think he's got a lot of juice left in him. And I just a lot of people seem to forget about him, but I think he's a terrific actor. So it was a perfect decision making him as the voice of Bumblebee. But yeah, this would have been an amazing scene to watch in theater. And I'm really, really disappointed in myself for not just committing to this film and going to see it opening weekend back in 2018. But I just was out on Transformers at the time because of The Last Knight, because of the whole Michael Bay era. But with Rise of the Beast coming out, I'm really, really glad that I jumped back into this franchise. You know, I did a season on it for the podcast. I did an episode on Rise of the Beast, and now we're ending it with Bumblebee, and I will do more episodes as the Transformers film comes out. But I'm all for Transformers now. But it's really unfortunate that I didn't get to see this film and this scene in particular on screen, because this would have been an amazing, amazing experience to watch on the big screen in the theater with the loudspeakers and all that, because it's just a really awesome put together battle sequence on Cybertron. I would honestly like an entire movie just on like this big war on Cybertron looking like this. This looked fantastic. And just bravo for everybody involved for bringing to life the classic Transformer vibe. It was really, really cool. Then we move on to Bumblebee losing his voice, which is a pretty intense scene. Bumblebee crash lands on Earth. He runs into John Cena's Agent Burns as they are doing some paintball training in the woods. And then Blitzwing shows up. He is the F-14 looking. I'm not too familiar with the planes, but it kind of looked like an F-14. He was the jet fighter plane designed Decepticon. They start battling each other. And then Blitzwing threatens Bumblebee that he needs to tell him where the Autobots are. We get the line that I spoke at the top of the episode, "I'll never talk." And Blitzwing's like, "Okay, we'll just make it permanent." Rips out his vocal cords. As a result of that, Bumblebee starts to slowly lose his mind and then eventually shuts down for good. So pretty awesome fight sequences. Again, love the special effects and design of the Transformers and all that. Just a really, really intense, awesome action sequence. Then we get Bumblebee waking up in Charlie's garage. This is where we get that first initial spark of this heartwarming relationship between Haley Steinfeld's Charlie and Bumblebee. Bumblebee is really scared, not knowing where he is or what his name is, but he immediately warms up to Charlie And they just really, really form this bond together. It's just a really, really heartwarming a story between these two characters. I really, really love this scene. Hailee Steinfeld is just amazing in this film. There's one scene coming up where she really is fantastic in it, and it just really cements her as one of my favorite actresses in Hollywood right now. She's just stupendous as an actor, and that is an understatement for sure. She's just fantastic in everything that she is a part of. Then we get this short scene here where so Shatter and Dropkick arrive on Earth later on, and they come across this couple who are arguing about the guy supposedly trying to hook up with his wife's sister, which is a whole nother subplot thing that we don't need to dive into because it's pretty much straightforward. But so the Decepticons show up and they blast this dude, and I love the effect of it. It's not like, you know, your typical explosion. It looked like somebody popped a snot bubble. It was pretty cool but disgusting at the same time. And the sound effect of it too was like a popping noise. Shatter even comments, you know, about, I love it. I think I have it in the favorite quotes coming up, but he goes, I love the way they pop. You know, it's pretty disgusting, but a really cool effect at the same time. So I just wanted to bring that up. It's a really quick scene, but when I first saw this, I was like, holy crap. I've never seen anything like that before. It was literally like he popped into a snot bubble. It was just wild. Then we get the scene, one of my favorites of the film, actually. Charlie's mom driving Bumblebee. Now, I really cracked up during this part. So apparently Charlie's brother's dog was having some health issues. So her mom takes Bumblebee to take the dog to the vet, I guess. Charlie freaks out and takes her little motorized bike around. And when she arrives, kind of riding back behind the car, we get this shot of Bumblebee sticking his hand outside of the trunk and kind of waving at Charlie. And then eventually the dog sees him and starts barking. He kind of does this thing where he turns his hand. He kind of like waves at the dog. I just really cracked up during this. I just love how Bumblebee was like this little, not really a, I guess kind of a kid, but he was just this really excited, I guess you could say kid, you know, seeing Charlie, and then seeing this dog and just having her just not a care in the world that he's just happy to see Charlie. And it just cracks me up every time seeing his giant hand coming out of the trunk and just waving at Hailee Steinfeld. It was just great. Then we have Charlie accidentally opening up Optimus's message. At the same time, we get this flashback of Optimus fighting on Cybertron like we did at the beginning of the film. But this is kind of insinuating that Bumblebee is slowly getting his memories back, and he remembers seeing Optimus just wreaking havoc on the Decepticons on Cybertron. I love the effect of the message, too, because when she activates the thing in his chest, this giant hologram of Optimus comes out, but it like forms up from the bottom up, kind of like a transformer. It was really cool how they did the effects of this message. And then also just some more awesome action sequences from Optimus being a badass during the War of Cybertron. It was just a really cool, like 5 to 6 minutes of just awesomeness. Then we get this really, really heartwarming moment where Charlie tells Bumblebee about what happened to her dad. Unfortunately, Charlie's dad died of a heart attack. It seems like it happened like a year ago, maybe less than that. They really don't dive into the timeline of it, but it seems like he's just only been gone maybe a year. But her mom, of course, remarries Ron. But I like this scene. This is a scene where we're talking about where Hailee Steinfeld is fantastic in this. She's got the emotion. She's still got kind of a charisma to it, but she really digs into the heartache of this Charlie character. And she did such a fantastic job of portraying it on screen. She's kind of opening up to Bumblebee, which is great. Starting to really, Bumblebee's really the first person she's talks about her dad about, you know. She's at the beginning of the film, she's really shut off, especially to her mom. She doesn't really have any friends. She goes to work, she comes home, works on the car, goes to bed, and rinse and repeat. Bumblebee is really the first friend that she ends up, you know, having a deep conversation to about her father. And it's just really a really, really touching moment in the film that I love. And it really increases the bond between these two. Hailee Steinfeld is just terrific in this film, especially in this scene of her opening up about her passing father. It was just really, really heartwarming. I mean, I honestly did shed a tear or two during that. Her performance is just that powerful. It's really great. Then we get this fun little scene with Bumblebee egging the car, and then after that we get the high speed chase with the cop. Steinfeld and Memo, they take Bumblebee to kind of vandalize the school bully. I think her name was Tina. They start off with the toilet paper, but Bumblebee, not knowing how this whole thing works, he launches the entire entire bundle of toilet paper like 30 feet up in the air. So then they get this new idea about the egging. So they're like, hey, Bumblebee, why don't you take this egg and throw it at the car? But Bumblebee takes it a step further and takes both containers of eggs, smashes them together, and kind of like rubs it on top of the roof of the car, and then eventually starts stomping and pounding because he's so excited to be a part of the group. And then this leads into a high-speed chase with the cop, where Bumblebee's kind of like transforming into that tunnel. It's just a really, really awesome like 10-minute sequence here with the hilariousness of Bumblebee vandalizing this car and then leading up to this high-speed chase. It's just really, really awesome. Then we get Bumblebee accidentally trashing the house. Another great, funny scene where Bumblebee is left at home by himself. He's kind of exploring the typical household on Earth. He starts messing with the blender. He tries to watch TV, but he smashes the couch. And then eventually he looks at the outlet and gets an idea and sticks his finger in the outlet. And then it causes this massive, massive power outage. And then eventually Charlie comes home and sees the chaos. Now, if this was my parents' house, my parents would absolutely kill me. Like, literally kill me if this is what happened. But what happens is Charlie kind of just blows past the fact that the entire house exploded. And kind of just walks out. Like, my parents would not have let me walk out of the house like that. Like, there would have been some discipline. But I guess this, you know, this being a movie and all that, they really wanted to focus on Steinfeld, really being in a fragile emotional state right now. So I guess they didn't really want to, but in reality, no kid would have left this house alive. Like, this house was trashed. Like, it was imploded and just chaos. Very similar to what happened at Shia LaBeouf's house in the first couple of films, where the house is pretty much blown open. Same goes for here, but it's a little more contained. Most of the damage is inside. But still, in reality, no kid would have been safe from their parents at this point. Like, this house was trashed. But it's still really, really funny to see Bumblebee kind of discovering you know, the typical 1980s technology. You know, you get the image of Bong going on the popular video game on the TV, like I said, the blender. You have the little dog running around wondering what this big machine is doing in his house. Still really, really fun scene, but I like to point out the fact in this scene that in reality, like, your life is over at this point if you were Charlie, because this house is just completely trashed. Then we get another pretty emotional scene. Again, this is kind of where I shed a couple tears. This is where Charlie tries to revive Bumblebee with the shotguns at Sector 7. So leading up to this, Charlie and Bumblebee come across Sector 7. John Cena's character ends up taking Charlie and Bumblebee into custody. Let me back up. So they take Bumblebee into custody. Then we get this scene where John Cena is at the house. He's trying to explain to Charlie's parents that she stole government property. She's arguing that he's not government property. He is something else. So we kind of get this intense stare down between John Cena and her mom, where they're trying to figure this thing out. So Charlie takes it upon herself to go to Sector 7 with Memo, and they try to save Bumblebee. Bumblebee is pretty much dead at this point. So Charlie gets this idea of taking the shotguns that they used to knock him out in the first place and try to restart his AllSpark. We have Steinfeld again, just phenomenal. You know, she's crying out to Bumblebee to come back to her, that she can't lose him too, like she lost her father. It's very emotional, very intense. Eventually, Bumblebee does wake up, and we're back in business with Bumblebee ready to protect Charlie. But it's this scene in particular of her shooting these guns on Bumblebee is really, really powerful, because Steinfeld is just crying out loud that she can't lose Bumblebee just like she lost her father. She finally found a friend that she can connect with. She doesn't want to lose it. And yeah, just a really, really powerful, powerful scene because of Steinfeld's performance. It was just stupendous. Then we get this quick scene where Bumblebee goes into kill mode once he watches Charlie kind of being manhandled by John Cena. We get that cool effect of his eyes going from blue to red to kind of insinuate that he is basically in battle mode. He's blowing up trucks. He's actually killing soldiers of Sector 7. Eventually, Charlie is able to calm him down, and he's back to his normal self. Awesome action. Again, another powerful emotional moment between him and Charlie. Just another great scene for sure. Then we get Bumblebee fighting the Decepticons at the transmission tower. This is this big action sequence that goes on for like a good 10-15 minutes. We got Charlie at the same time trying to shut down the transmission, that it's kind of warning the other Decepticons to come to Earth. We have Bumblebee taking on Shatter. This was really cool because so they're battling each other, and then Bumblebee gets this bright idea to take this metal chain and throw it at Shatter. That way when he like transforms, it like wraps around him. It was a really cool effect, and I would never think of seeing this in a Transformer film, but it makes so much sense because when he transforms, like, the chain gets stuck inside of his components and he's basically done. And then Bumblebee gets this idea to just kind of rip or like pull the chains tighter, and it basically explodes Shatter into a million pieces. It was really cool how they did this from a choreography standpoint and special effects standpoint as well. It's really, really cool. And then eventually Dropkick comes in and Bumblebee fights her. Then he gets another bright idea where he blasts the dam wall, bringing in all this water. And then eventually he's able to kill Dropkick. We get this another cool moment where Haley Steinfeld jumps into the water and they have this kind of, it was a really cool shot. It's probably one of my favorite shots of her swimming above him while he's at the bottom of this water, trying to see if he's okay, but he ends up being okay and they both swim up. But I just really love that shot of them both in the water. It was really cool how they did that. And then the last scene I have here is Charlie saying goodbye to Bumblebee. Again, another emotional moment here. where Charlie realizes that she has to say goodbye to her friend Bumblebee because he has a mission and he needs to rejoin the Autobots. So, and this is, of course, where we get the Bumblebee transforming into the awesome Camaro that we see him in the first Transformers film when he meets Shia LaBeouf's character for the first time. So, yeah, all these scenes are so good. There's probably more that I forgot, but those are really the ones that stick out to me the most when I think of Bumblebee. So, just very, very emotional movie, all because of Steinfeld's performance, and she's just phenomenal in this film. Next up, we have favorite quotes. I actually didn't have a whole lot of quotes. For me, this film is mainly like emotion focused and action focused. There weren't a whole lot of standout quotes to me like there were in some of the other installments, but some of these are really awesome. So the first one I have is the one from Bumblebee that I opened up the episode with "I'll never talk." This, of course, is voiced by Dylan Bryan in response to Blitzwing threatening to take his voice box out if he didn't answer his question. Another one that I already mentioned from Shatter, "I love the way they pop," when he explodes the people. I think he shoots the one guy at the beginning, and then he shoots Powell, the science dude from Sector 7. I think those are the only two people that we see those effect with. But I thought that was a really funny quote where he just says, "I love the way they pop." This one from Charlie, "He would hear me." When this is during her emotional moment with Bumblebee, as she's talking about her dad passing, and the reason why she spends so much time building this car is because if she gets it running, that he will be able to hear her in heaven. And I thought that was a really powerful line there. This one from Memo, "The darkest nights produce the brightest stars." That's some Shakespeare stuff if I've ever heard of it. We can all relate to this line here, similar to the famous line from Christopher Nolan's The Dark Knight, where Harvey Dent says, the night is darkest just before the dawn. This is something similar. Again, we can all relate to this line. I think it was a great line to throw into a movie like this. This one from Charlie, "I can't lose him too." That's kind of where I got some dust in my eye. When she's shooting Bumblebee with the shotgun, trying to revive him, and she's yelling that Bumblebee needs to wake up, and we get this line where she says, "I can't lose him too," just like her father, and it's just very, very powerful. Steinfeld just phenomenal job in it when she performs all these quotes. This one from John Cena's Agent Burns, "There's a door in my way." Now I put this in here because this is a total John Cena line. And I'll talk about him shortly here because he's in one of my other segments, but this line pretty much sums up the actor John Cena. He does this meathead line of "There's a door in my way." That's such a John Cena line. Another one from Charlie, "He's more human than you ever be." This is her telling Agent Burns about Bumblebee, which is true. Bumblebee is really, really caring and loving, more human than a lot of us will ever be. Really, really awesome line. This one from Charlie's mom, "Ron, there is a kid in the car," and then he responds, "I was trying to save the other kid. It was a lose-lose." This interaction always cracks me up. So that was a scene I didn't talk about in standout scenes, but it's still a great scene. So Charlie's mom, Ron, and then her brother, Otis, are in the station wagon. They're trying to, get some answers out of her. She's explaining that she can't talk right now, that she has to go on this mission. So Ron gets the idea of trying to lose John Cena and the Sector 7 guys. He starts doing this swaving maneuver that he said he saw in Miami Vice. And then the mom's freaking out that, "Hey, you still have one kid in the car," but he's like, "Yeah, but I'm trying to save the other kid too. No matter what I do, it's a lose-lose." It cracks me up. This one from Memo, hey, can you call my mom? So he shows up at the very end of the fight. He rolls up to John Cena standing there. He's like, so did I miss it? And he goes, yeah, the fight's over, kid. And he goes, cool. Hey, can you call my mom? I don't know why, but that makes me chuckle every time. And then this last one from Bumblebee, my name is Bumblebee. This is when he's talking to Optimus, and Optimus still refers to him as B-127. And he goes, no, my name is Bumblebee. And he's, since he has no voice box still, he's slipping through the radio. But I love the idea that they had Haley Steinfeld's voice saying Bumblebee, because she's the one that named him. I thought that was a really, really awesome moment that he has her voice saved in his memory. So Haley Steinfeld is the one to save Bumblebee at the end. And I thought that was a fantastic decision. It was really, really cool. Favorite Autobot, of course, it's got to be Bumblebee, because, I mean, it's called Bumblebee. He's pretty much the only Autobot in this film, even though, you know, Optimus is really badass during those Cybertron fights. But it's really Bumblebee. Bumblebee is awesome in this. He's got some cool action sequences. Dylan O'Brien voices him for a little bit. Love seeing him connect with Charlie right away, and the bond that they formed together. It was just, Bumblebee is awesome, and this is my favorite version of Bumblebee. I love him in this film. I hope that we get more of this side of Bumblebee. Rise of the Beast kind of leaned into this a little bit, but that was mainly an Optimus film. I love that Bumblebee gets his own movie, and they did a fantastic job, because he was amazing in this. Favorite Decepticon, there was only a couple. This is a pretty small contained story, so we really only get a few Transformers, which again I think is an awesome decision. But my favorite Decepticon in this is Shatter, and it's all because of the popping effect that he does when he kills people. I thought that was such a unique weapon design and effect, and it's just, it still blows my mind today that that is in a Transformer film. That popping of a snot bubble effect is so freaking disgusting and cool. So just on that fact alone, is Shatter is my favorite Decepticon in this film. So next we have the negatives, and this is where I was trying to save John Cena. I am not a fan of John Cena. I talked about him a little bit in my Fast 10 episode, but I don't think he's a great actor. He's a great wrestler. I love watching him when he was in WWE and all that, but I don't think he's a good actor. He's just a giant meathead in this. You literally could have put anybody else in this role, and it wouldn't have changed the movie at all. He really brings nothing to the table. He's just a giant meathead that is just taking up screen time, honestly. I don't care much for John Cena. And that's one thing that takes away from this film being perfect. They could have, I definitely would recast him. I'm not exactly sure who, but I don't think John Cena fits into this film. I think he's just really miscast, and it's, a lot of it is because I just don't think he's a great actor. Yeah, he's just a really unnecessary element of this film. Also, alongside John Cena, we get this government plot again, which I don't think works at all in these Transformer movies. If you've been listening to the season, I've had a huge problem with this government subplot in these films. Bumblebee, unfortunately, is nothing different. We get this stretch of time where they team up with the Decepticons and allow them to hack our satellites. Huge red flag immediately. If these alien robots ask to access our satellites, you don't let them access the satellites. It's just a no-brainer. But they listen to this crazy scientist guy Powell, who I think, I mean, I love the actor. He's been in a bunch of stuff. I just don't care for the government side of these movies. And Bumblebee is in the same boat. Unfortunately, it's just, I don't think these whole government subplots work in these films. Just give me Transformer fights and emotional moments, like Steinfeld and Bumblebee. We don't need Sector 7 or any of that government stuff in here. It just takes up time. It's unnecessary. It's just, it bloats the movie out. We don't need it. And then the last negative I have is, not to be mean, but I never really cared for the name Memo. Are we sure we couldn't have come up with a better name for this kid? It seems as if they're like, hey, we need to come up with a name for this guy. Send out a memo and tell people that we need name ideas. And then they go, oh, light bulb. Let's just call the kid Memo. I apologize for anybody out there who is named Memo. I've never met a Memo. The only time I've ever heard somebody being called Memo is in this movie. Whenever I hear that this character's name is Memo, it's just a little surprising and off-putting a little bit. It's just like, we couldn't have come up with a better name than Memo. It's just a weird name. But those are the only real negatives I had with the film. The John Cena part really holds the film back from being like 100% perfect for me. But still, overall, this is a fantastic, fantastic movie. Burning questions. So I haven't done this segment yet in this season at all. But every time I watch this, I have one question in my mind is, will Hailee Steinfeld return to the franchise? She wasn't in Rise of the Beasts. That takes place about 6-7 years after Bumblebee. It would be really cool if she did pop up again. I don't know how they would do it. She would have to play an older version of Charlie, of course. But I would love to see Hailee Steinfeld come back to this franchise. You know, having her reconnect with Bumblebee would be awesome. I know it's a little tough with the Bay films. But I think if they really, really committed to it, and Hailee Steinfeld is on board, I think they could really do some justice to this film and bring back this bond between Charlie and Bumblebee that we all really, really love. I think it's possible. It's probably unlikely that she will be. She's got her hands in a lot of different films now. You know, she's been doing the Spider-Verse movies. She's been in some other stuff. But I think if they did approach her, I think she would say yes. Depending on the script, she's kind of those actors now that really focuses on a really good script. So I think if they were to kind of persuade her to come back, that would be really, really awesome to see her reconnect with Bumblebee, because they are the heart of this film. They're the reason why this film is the best of the franchise. I would really, really love her to return as Charlie Watson, because I think she just did a phenomenal job. And to see her reconnect with Bumblebee after all these years would be just really, really heartwarming and awesome to see them on screen together. Let's end today's episode with one more look at the Transformer rankings. So as of the refresher, here is the Transformers rankings as they stand. Number one is Bumblebee. Two, Transformer Rise of the Beasts. Three, Transformers. Four, Dark of the Moon. Five, Revenge of the Fallen. Six, Age of Extinction. And at seven, The Last Knight. Like I keep saying throughout this episode today, Bumblebee is by far the best of the installments. Steinfeld's performance alone bumps up this film, along with her connection with Bumblebee. Just awesome with special effects, the story, all that stuff is just really, really good. Unfortunately, we get John Cena, who kind of pulls it down a bit. The whole government subplot kind of pulls it down a bit. But overall, it's still the best of the franchise. Really surprised that Rise of the Beast is in second. Going into that film, I was not expecting to like it as much. Check out my reaction episode on that if you haven't listened to it yet. Or if you haven't seen the film, go out and see it. It's still in theaters right now. Just a really, really awesome Transformer films with a lot of action. Again, with some heart into it. Just really liking the future of the Transformers franchise. But yeah, Bumblebee is just a phenomenal film. One of my favorite films of all time. Just outstanding job by Travis Knight and the cast and all that stuff. So what the future holds for Transformers, I'm not exactly sure. I gotta imagine more installments are gonna come sooner rather than later with the success of Rise of the Beast. There is a huge crossover coming up for sure, but I won't get into that for anybody who hasn't seen Rise of the Beast yet. I don't want to spoil that huge crossover, but it's very, very exciting. It's great to be a Transformers fan now. I know times were pretty dark during the Michael Bay era, but now with this kind of new another soft reboot that they're going through with this franchise, I think it's in good hands now. I didn't get to really talk about it, but the runtime on Bumblebee was perfect. You know, it's a tight hour, 54 minutes. Rise of the Beast was just a couple minutes over 2 hours, which I think they need to just, you know, they learned a lesson from the Bay movies of trying to stick as close as they can to that 2 hour mark. And I think it works in their favor. It creates a very, very tight story. Doesn't leave the audience exhausted. But it also comes down to the script, and I think the scripts are the best with Bumblebee for sure, as well as Rise of the Beast. This is going to be a really, really awesome double feature to watch once we're able to own Rise of the Beast. But Bumblebee is just a really awesome coming-of-age story about two people that meet each other and they become friends, while one being a giant robot. But it's just a really small contained story, and I hope that the franchise does more of these. You know, give us like two or three Transformers, give us a human character that we can relate to and that we fall in love with, and then have the bond between man and machine be as compelling and compassionate as it is in Bumblebee. So they really need to just keep Bumblebee as the example of what a good Transformer film can be, because it is. It is the best Transformer film we have, and I hope we get more of it like that in the future. Well, that'll do it for the Transformers season here on Cinematic Reviews. Join me next week for the premiere episode of the Fast and the Furious season with the film that started it all, The Fast and the Furious. Also, check out new release reactions every week on the show. Next, I'll be reacting to Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, the last adventure of everyone's favorite archaeologist. It is out now in theaters, so check it out this weekend, and then come back next week for my reaction episode. Autobots, roll out.